Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or good afternoon. If you're in the Pacific Coast, you are in the morning. If you are on the East Coast and Central, this is afternoon. Welcome to the Blog Talk radio program for Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., where we are here to equip and empower the Kingdom of God, the children of God, the body of Christ. And where we add value to your ordained destiny that God have given you for the Kingdom of God. My name is Donna Wortham. I am the host of Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. And our discussion today is about Kingdom Christian leadership. We have been talking about these for the past few weeks, and we're on the fourth series of Christian leadership. And we're going to talk about today how you as a Christian leader can help your followers to succeed. To succeed in the task that you give them, to succeed in what you want them to accomplish in the ministry, to succeed in what they are ordained to succeed in the ministry. And this may involve Christian coaching and mentoring. So we're going to talk about that today on the show so that we can shed a little insight to that. And I have with us co-host Reverend Betty Shelby and also Minister Belinda McKenzie on the show with us today. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to shed some insight for the Kingdom of God, well, how the Christian leader can help followers to succeed. But before I begin, I would like to ask that Reverend Betty Shelby, could you please open up the session in prayer?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for this day. Father, we thank and praise you for this radio station. Father, we thank and praise you for your leadership. Father, we just praise you. We give you praise, Father. We give you the glory, Father. And we pray that every heart receive, Father, and every seed planted that watered, Father, that it may grow, that you give us increase. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we just thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to start out by pointing out a few things about Christian leadership in the area of coaching and first and mentoring. And we're going to discuss first Christian coaching, then we'll branch out to mentoring. So it's important that a Christian leader use their interpersonal skills to help others to be successful in the Kingdom of God. Strong leaders remain connected with their followers. Christian leaders cannot just stand behind the pulpit and run away from the crowd at the end of the sermon and remain solely disconnected from the crowd. Just as God is connecting with you, you will need to connect with the followers. The closer you are, the easier it is for you to find the strengths and talents of your followers. And you can empower them to shine. Genuinely express respect for your followers and have their best interests at heart. Remember, you are building up disciples for the Kingdom of God. They need to know that your vision also is aligned with helping them to succeed. And I'm going to read a quote from John C. Maxwell. He said, "True leadership must be for the benefit of the followers, not to enrich the leader." So I'm going to also point out some things about Christian coaching. And Christian coaching is not telling the followers what to do. It is helping them to visualize the role that they can play through coaching them to be self-aware of their abilities, helping them to strategically establish goals, and encourage them to follow the goals out. This can be accomplished by looking inside of the follower while considering their gifts and talents, strengths, weaknesses, what motivates them, and what helps them to shine. A coach does not specifically have to be skilled in an area that they are coaching in, but it is more effective to help an individual achieve the goal a leader has given directions in. The leader should be able to relate the specific outcome to be achieved and coach the individual along the way. So really, a coach is not coaching and mentoring is two different things. Coaching is helping an individual to achieve the goals that are established and encouraging them along the way. Whereas mentoring, on the other hand, Christian mentoring is more like holding their hand. It's helping the followers to understand what the vision is all about and how it will not only make their lives better, but for the Christian body as a whole. Mentoring your followers will also guide them through the growth process of their roles and encourage them to fulfill even more challenges. You are guiding them into excellence in the kingdom of God, concepts that will sustain them for a lifetime of victory. The most important aspect of a Christian coaching and mentoring is that you are always looking at ways to help develop the followers' unique gifts, talents, and abilities to become Christian leaders themselves, individually and as a whole for the body of Christ. This is a sure win for the kingdom of God. And the outcome is more productive role players in the kingdom of God. This will impact the world globally. Now, Reverend Betty Shelby and Minister Belinda McKenzie, I think as playing pastoral roles or in your lifetime and also working with individuals, I'm sure that you have spent some time in developing individuals and helping them to succeed in what they're trying to achieve. Would you like to share some insight as far as from a Christian coaching perspective?
Me?
Yes, that's fine. You can start first, Reverend Betty Shelby.
Yes, I have worked in helping with drug and alcohol, with also the homeless and domestic violence, and also with the prison in the prison. Number one is to be how you carry yourself. And if you're a true Christian, you carry yourself as Jesus carried himself. You be honest. You be faithful. You try to be an example. And if you say that you're going to do something, be trustworthy to fulfill whatever you're going to do. And if you can't fulfill whatever you're going to do, then you need to state why, the reason, and reschedule.
Okay,
amen.
Great. Amen. I think it's very important to have sound Christian faith as a coach if you're going to be involved as a Christian leader and coaching Christians, definitely, and also have strong coaching competency, being able to transcend models and that's going to transform the individual to help them to achieve their goals. And also, like you said, having solid ethics and truths in what you're doing, because it's very important that the person will open up to you in order for you to be able to help them. And it's also important that you show that you're accountable to the individual. Minister Belinda, would you like to share some of your some advice or anything that you would like to share regarding Christian coaching?
Okay. I would say that some of the things you said and Betty said, I was thinking as y'all were talking beforehand, you have to be honest, reliable, respectful. You have to maintain certain characteristics in order to help someone, because they have to know that you're for real and that they can, you're accountable and you're dependable. Another is talking to the individual, you know, and both of y'all praying to find out what, as far as in the Christian aspect, what has God called them to do? You know, finding out what has God is required of them. Then after you find that, okay, you go to the scripture. You know, let's see the those that followed in that step, in those steps. You know, whether it's someone that's called to pray. You know, how do you pray? You know, giving them the insight how to seek God, how to, where are their weaknesses, you know, and finding out what they can do to build those weaknesses, you know, up so they become strong. You know, if they lack certain skills, how can we go about to get those skills so that can enable them to be successful? Where those taking them to find how where those resources are? Let me see. I'm trying to think. You know, showing them how they can apply God's word to whatever they may face, equipping them by the knowledge and the wisdom of God, how can they stand? What are the essential things that they need to be able to stand? And if they lack, you know, giving them that assurity, well, if I lack this, that doesn't mean that you're inferior. It means that you don't have the information or the, you need to find the resources that can enable you to overcome that lack. You know, sometimes individuals with a lack ability to read, you know, and you can find programs for them. Let's search out the community, search out what's available to you. You can overcome that. You know, there are many things that people lack that keep them in bondage, because the enemy works it. Well, I'm not capable. I'm inferior. You know, it was Moses, I think, that felt that he couldn't talk. But God enabled him to overcome that. Maybe sometimes we need another individual to he gave him Joshua to help him, making people feel that it's okay that you might need another source from a person until you're capable of doing that. That's what I normally do when I'm dealing with a person. I ask them, what has God called you to? You know, what has God spoken to them? Don't know. I say, well, every person that's called of God has a position. So we need to go in prayer, and let's find out what God wants you to do. And then encouraging that person to know if God's called you, he has qualified you. It's just bringing those gifts that you have out. sometimes people are not aware that they have those gifts.
Yeah. This is true. This is true. And oftentimes you find that, well, let's say that there you're a visionary and God have given you something in your heart and that's going to help the body of Christ. So if the visionary, just like Jesus had a vision of what Peter could become. And
yes.
Jesus saw in Peter the potential of greatness, and he gave him a name that reflected his potential, which was the Rock. He set up, he considered him as like the Rock. So how do we coach this individual to see that vision and then see what their potential capabilities in that vision would be? And this is what Larry Craft says. He says, a vision we give to others of who and what they could become has power when it echoes what the Spirit has already spoken unto their souls. So let's say that you're a pastor and you have a church and you want to transcend in the atmosphere of the people, a place where everyone is loved and accepted. And you want to develop biblical precepts that will help the people to understand that. How can a Christian leader go about, coaching the body to where they can they also will be able to transcend that culture of where everyone is loved and accepted inside of the body of Christ. How can they get that the people in that church to see that the same thing that they are seeing and adapt to it the way that they would? How did they coach them into that? Reverend Betty Shelby.
Well, first of all, in order for them to know love is to show love. Let them see the love of God in you. Express that to them. All I can say is that at my church, that we just I show them love. I show them the love of Christ. I also teach them how Christ has loved us, what He gave for us. Also, various times we do different things. We have like little dinners, and we come together as a family to show love. At Christmas and different holidays, we do different things. I give them gifts, or it don't have to be a holiday. I just may the Lord touch me and say, I see something, and I share with my congregation gifts, and I show them that I love you, and I show them that Christ loves you. That helps a lot of people. Even in there are people who have needs, as Sister Belinda said. When they have needs, that you do things in love and you help them in any kind of way that you can, but you don't expect anything back. You just, I'm here to give this to you. I heard you had a need, and I want to give in to your need, whatever it may be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And also, to add on to that, sometimes we have to, even though that, because oftentimes we share the word of God, but it becomes head knowledge to some individuals. So we have to, like you said, show them that this is what this love means, this unconditional love means, And then also, too, all right, God said to transcend an environment where everyone is loved and accepted, okay? So we also want to say to the host or the ushers, when someone is coming in, this is how we want to treat everyone when they come in the door. If they don't want to sit in this particular spot that you've taken them to, okay, fine. Let them move to the area where they want to be in. There's so many things that could be done in the body of Christ that can help people to feel the love, that they're loved and accepted no matter what the situation is, you know. Sometimes you might go into one environment and the person say, welcome, but they're not smiling. So we want to teach them also that a smile can go a long way. So there's so many different things we can do to coach them into displaying and also achieving the goal, the outcome that is expected. Minister Belinda, would you like to add on?
Yes, it's important to have to show the love of Christ when people are coming in. When I was, I'm not a pastor, I have never worked in that position, and I really have a respect for those that do stand the way God says, because it's not an easy job. And when I was in the church, God told me just to be available and be spiritually discerning, you know, teaching them how to pray and be discerning of a people's spirit, meaning when a person comes in, if you're praying and you learn to pray and you learn to discern, God will tell you, okay, you know, some individuals that do not want to be hugged, don't hug them.
Mm-hmm.
There are some
mm-hmm.
that want to, you know. It's how you greet that individual. You're there just to make them feel comfortable, a system. And once that's completed, then leave them alone. At times, God would quicken me, get up, get some tissue for this lady. You know, put the box there when they were crying. Or you see a mother, the child wants to lay down. She's in distress. They're, you know, getting impatient. I'd go get some coloring books or, you know, have the children where they can sit down, you know, and color. Whatever aid you need to assist them. But just being aware that a person is in need and then try to meet that need within the church. I'm trying to think of some things. Because this is a hard, so many things that you can do. I know that the atmosphere needs, like Reverend Shelby said, there needs to be an atmosphere that everyone is accepted and that it needs to be open, that people can be able to express their desires, because we're a body and we are a family. And a family makes it the person to feel comfortable. They can say something. No question is stupid. People need to feel that they can ask questions. Making an atmosphere where people feel that I'm part of a family and that they care for me.
Very
and
good.
The church mm-hmm. has seen that. It's a healthy atmosphere. You know, you want to feel that Christ is there. And it has to, if you're going to be a leader, you have to set that example that, you know, you're accountable, you're real. You know, what they see is what they get. It's not something that's an image. And that you're accessible, you know. And then you also have to know the boundaries. And teach people there are boundaries. And making them independent, if they come dependent and you're walking in the right way, teaching them, assisting them, they should become not dependent, but dependent on Christ.
Very good.
There has to be an order within God. You have to teach people, and this is a fine line, too, about submission. The leader needs to know that those people are not his. They are God's first. We don't own people. We are there to assist them to grow, to become independent of you, but dependent on God, become rooted and grounded in God's word. How they can use the word to obtain the things that they need, the promises of God, the power of God, the love of God, all of those things, and to make a person whole. So that's the same thing that Jesus did. He took his disciples. He was the example of love. He gave them love, but he gave them love with accountability, too. You know, he told them, there are things that you're going to go through, but he equipped them according to the word how they could go through. And then when they became strong, they were able to go out and teach somebody else, coach someone else, or mentor them. You can set up people that you know that are accountable, that are characteristics of Jesus Christ. You don't want to appoint somebody or set up somebody that is not lined up. You have to get lined up in order to help someone else. And set up those coaching compartments within that church, mentors that will stand with the person. You know, and if they need help, they can call someone. They need information, they can know that that person or the church is going to help them. You can even have a department within the church that has the information or whatever it is, you know, to develop those individuals, those skills. You could even have it in the church. It's just like when Betty was working with the violence and abuse program. They provided them whatever skills, you know. I think some of them were able to get computer skills, their GED, so they can go ahead and get a better job. Maybe people are struggling, you know, with the lack of ability. How can we help them? Because you're dealing with the whole person. You know, when Jesus said, if someone needed food, you feed them. If they needed a coat, you give them a coat. So it's not just the spiritual person, it's also the physical person. But there has to be accountability, because you'll have individuals that are just coming, don't want to live right, don't want to be accountable. They just come for the access to those materials.
Now, you know, you pointed out some very key things for the Christian coaching, actually a support of Christian coaching, which is, first of all, let's say that we want to create a culture that is where everyone feels loved and accepted, and we want some key role players that are in the church to play a role in transcending this vision into the church. So first of all, we have to make those key role players aware of what it is to be Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ unconditional love. Then we have to help them to understand the vision of it. And then we have to set a strategy and an action in place. We also have to consider the potential obstacles that may come in the way of us transcending this type of environment into the body of Christ. For one thing is that we always have to consider potential obstacles, because obstacles are something that are inevitable to come into place into mostly everything in life. But if we consider the obstacles, we can then realign and say, okay, this is how we can overcome these obstacles. And, of course,
yes.
Prayer is the most important of it all, a point of it all. But now when we have, it's in our strategy and action that you mentioned that we want to set it up to where we can make everyone to be accountable that is playing a role. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples. And he transcended down to them what he wanted to achieve as far as delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, after he gave them the awareness and the vision of it all, how it's going to impact the kingdom of God, he also showed them what the kingdom of darkness was. Those were the obstacles. Here's your strategy and your action. Go run with it, okay? So it's the same thing with when we are coaching groups or when we are coaching individuals. These are things that we have to look at. Reverend Betty, would you like to add some more to that?
Yes. Also, when you're... finding out at times what a person is needing, well, I'll say for drug and alcohol, a lot of them were running from their situation, thinking if they can move from one place to another place to another place in order to get away from the drugs, the alcohol. But every place that you run to, there is still drugs, there's still alcohol, there are still things that you're going to face, and which is spiritual, a demon that comes and it just keeps overtaking you and overtaking you. One is to help a person face their fears, face what they're running from, stand tall to what they're running from, and to recognize what it is. A lot of them could tell me that about their what kind of drug they were on, what kind of alcohol they were on, were drinking by their body action. They knew, so they could recognize, but did not know that they had an insight on what's going on. They could even tell you who was bringing the drugs. They could tell you who. Recognize the person bringing it as well as who was not getting off the drug. They were still carrying it. So I had to sit there and ask them. I said, okay, now you can recognize the enemy. And they were like, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can. You just did. And once they started to recognize that and see their what their enemy was, then I said, now you can stand and say no. If you truly want to get off, say no. And they begin to stand up and said no, that I will not do this anymore. Then they came to a point where they the demon wasn't coming to them anymore to partake of the drug. It started to manifest in their thirst or taste for the drugs and give them a hunger and thirst. That's where our prayer comes in, and also to teach them to resist the demon. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. This is when you talk to them about pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over them, to stand firm and still say no to the taste. Know that I will not accept the taste of this drug. I will not do this again. How many times they had to say no? It could be millions of times you have to say no. But the more you can continue to say no, the more that you lessen the enemy, but you build up strength. Also, you need prayer partners to come in and help you to pray and to stand with you. AA has meetings where they come together. NA has meetings where they come together to have people to help them. But I also would teach them too that to quit saying that I am a coke addict. I am this. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it says old things are passed away. All things become new. I was a coke addict. I was an alcoholic. Was a meth addict. You have to say what's in the past, because your past now does not come forth in your future, the new life, because that was old. As the Bible says, old things are passed away. All things become new. It's all washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And now the newness is to being a clean. You have to pronounce that I am clean. I am set free. I am no longer what I used to be. I'm a king's kid. All my sins are washed away. I'm a new creature. How many times you have to say that? Lots of times, millions of times, until it becomes a solid foundation into your body, into your mind, your heart, your system, that I'm no longer that anymore. And you can be able to suppress the devil, suppress the urges that come. I met several people that wanted to get off smoking. And I told them, I said, the Lord says in his words that he gives good gifts. So I used that part as, let's wrap up the cigarettes as a gift. And we're going to take that gift to the altar and leave it there. And the reason I did it that way is because if I'm going to give a gift to someone, be it its birthday or just I seen this and I said, oh, I know this person really likes this, and I'm going to wrap this up as a gift. I'm not going to be a person who's going to give the gift to the person and then turn around and take it back. Well, truly, if I give my gift to the Lord, I don't want to take it back. I want to leave my gift there and let him take it and let me walk away. But I want him to accept it and let him know that I'm free from this. So they would we would wrap up gifts, and we would leave them at the altar and walk away. And I said, don't pick up the gift. Don't take it back. Leave it there. So they had to, whenever they had that urge to smoke or whatever, they had to remember, I left that gift at the altar, at the foot of the cross, that I don't do this anymore. I will not go back and pick it up. Some, you know, it was a little bit stronger, but we kept on and kept on till they just found out that I give up. I just give up. I'm not going to do it no more. Also, I was doing a Jack Daniels funeral. That was the most awesome funeral. I said, Lord, I have never done a Jack Daniels funeral. And Jack Daniels is not a person. It was the liquor, Jack Daniels. This guy wanted to finish drink. He said, I'm through drinking. And his flavor was Jack Daniels whiskey. And we had a funeral. Got a pint of Jack Daniels, got a little coffin made, and we put the Jack Daniels in the coffin, dug a hole and buried it in Jesus' name. And, oh, the power of the Lord was there. I'm telling you, he was heavy on everyone. We celebrated. Didn't know that the man could take a guitar and play it and sing. He just started praising the Lord. He just singing. He sung Amazing Grace like you've never heard it before. And he wept and he said, I'm so glad that I'm free. I'm so glad that I am free. I'm free. And we was all rejoicing. We were all rejoicing that he was free. It's not that a sinner, it says that a sinner saved by grace, but sometimes it's the things that keep us sinning. We're still saved by grace. Later on, mm-hmm. when he gave this up, about a couple of years later, this man died. And when he died, he put on his grave, in his coffin, "I'm saved by grace." Oh, that was
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. 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 Well, you know, coaching is a slightly bit different, but mentoring, most definitely, you like encouraging, you giving them the word, you are telling them the direction to go. But coaching is more like helping them to be aware. So when they're coming to you, also if you're a visionary and you're given the awareness of what you want to achieve, okay, that's a different direction. But you want them to develop their strategy and action on how to achieve it. Because as a Christian leader, we don't want to empower them and say, okay, we don't want to use our power to give them direction. We want to empower them. So we say, okay, this is what we want to do. So I want you to give me your goals on how you are going to achieve it. How do you envision that this can happen? So the individual will come back to you and say, okay, this is how I see I can achieve it, you know. Then you encourage, you give additional insights and areas that maybe need to be tweaked a little bit. Then allow them to come back and to you and say, okay, this is what I think now. So you empowering them more so, and then you're empowering them also to look at angles and ways where they can overcome those obstacles because they know themselves better than we do. But mentoring, on the other hand, is a little bit differently. We are taking them and walking them through the process. We are using our skills. Now, for instance, we may have a marriage mentor. We may have a, where they help marriage people in marriages to get through certain issues in their lives. We may have several different types of mentors out there. It could be a spiritual mentor, a biblical mentor, where you're helping the person to grow and learn in the Bible. Mentors that help people that learn leadership in the church, or to grow in various positions in the church. They want to mentor someone into becoming a pastor or mentor someone into becoming a music leader or, you know, whatever the person says, oh, this is where I want to grow in. Or the Christian leader has identified this person has these gifts and talents. They're unique in this area. So God is showing you, okay, it's time for this individual to transition and grow. So you're taking that person and you are going to release them to start learning in certain areas. And you will move them to Sunday school or maybe over the youth ministry. Then you will move them to various places as they're growing within the environment. So which mentoring is slightly different from coaching, because in coaching we want them to be able to identify the areas of growth and then be able to transition and move from position to position. So in traditional coaching, you may want to spend like 6 weeks to 3 months helping the person to achieve the goals that they establish strategically while encouraging them along the way. For instance, looking at it from an individual perspective, someone may come to you and say, well, the doctor has told me that I need to lose weight. My health is in jeopardy. So I really need to lose this weight, and I want to go down in my dress sizes. So this is their awareness. They realize that this is my issue. So now how do I help them to achieve their vision. Their vision is to say, I want to now lose 40 pounds. I want to also, in achieving this, I want to reduce my dress size to a size 10. So how do we take, this is their vision that they want to lose this much. So now it's measurable. So now I want to help them. Well, how want to help them achieve that? I'm not going to go and tell them. I want them to tell me, what do you want to focus on this week to achieve this goal? What actions would you like to take? And then I want to encourage and help them to achieve it this week, because the traditional thing of taking someone and saying, this is what you need to do, doesn't necessarily always work, because it begins to be a manipulation of clients or of individuals to help to get them to accept our convictions or our priorities in it. But when it has been found in statistically that for the body of Christ, that when you're releasing them and allowing them to set their own goals and to achieve, in most cases, they are going to work at it more with a conviction, an inner conviction of their own. Their accountability is going to be more increased. So, Sister Minister Belinda, do you have anything you would like to say in that area as far as Christian coaching?
Okay. It sounds like you're not letting them rely on you, but on themselves to come up with the answers.
Yes.
That's what coaching is. More of
developing
them for themselves and then finding out the information for themselves, and then they decide, okay, this will work for me.
Right, because you're more of empowering and equipping. Right,
okay.
Empowering and equipping, but it's just like, okay, I want to know more about Jesus. So it's more like empowering, and what part do you want to learn about Jesus more of? Then I might be able to say, and as an encouragement, well, I tell you what, I know these scriptures in the Bible can help you to learn more about it, or this book of the Bible, this chapter, you know, it can help you to learn more. So which area do you want to focus on this week? Okay.
Okay,
so when we meet back again, you said that you were going to work on these scriptures. How did it go? Were you able to achieve that? Did you face any obstacles? And also, before they go, do you know of anything that's going to be an obstacle for you to achieve this? So it makes the person more accountable to fulfill it themselves, because otherwise you're going to be taking all of the weight and trying to drag them through the process, whereas you're going to wear yourself down and not be able to really help them achieve it, number one.
Yeah.
There's so many reasons why you want them to set their pace themselves,
right,
because they already see, but you want to help them to recognize. Some people will come to you and say, well, I don't know what my problem is. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. So now you have to then let them talk.
Right.
And get it out, and, you know, you become a listener more than a communicator. You see.
Eventually, if they keep talking, they're going to identify it themselves.
Exactly.
And then you can get points, and then they have to develop the skill for that. And when you were saying they were going to try to lose weight, the goal or the vision was to lose weight.
That's an example.
Yeah, because you can't say, well, like, do this, do that, because then that's not enabling them. You know, you want to look at the goal and look at them accomplishing that goal. And that individual needs to find out, okay, what If you want to lose weight, what are the key elements to losing weight? Diet, exercise. What kind of exercising you want to do? Because everybody doesn't like the same thing. They have to find the thing that they like. Because if you like it, you're more amenable to do it and be consistent with it. Some people like walking outside instead of walking on the treadmill. Maybe they're a bulk eater, and that means you like large quantities. Well, there's foods that you could eat a lot of, and you could learn how to pick stuff that tastes good, and it's low in calorie, but you can eat, consume a lot of it, but you'll lose weight. So it's more like equipping them and letting them set up the accomplishing the vision
that they want to achieve. Yes. Because if I establish a vision, in most cases, they're going to run away from that vision. Because it's like it's not something that they really feel that they're ready to grasp and hold on to. So they will, you know, but if they establish their own vision and you can help them to be accountable and encourage them, they will run the race and they will run with it swift. And they will be excited that they're achieving it. And another thing is that, okay, if you achieve this goal, how can you reward yourself? What would you reward yourself with if you achieve this? You know, some people may come back, well, I will go on a shopping spree, or I will, you know, whatever they're, if they're wanting to learn the Bible, it will be like, well, maybe I will buy a new Bible, or maybe I will, you know. So whatever they're trying to achieve, as a Christian leader, we are supposed to be there to help them to do it. But let's look at Christian mentoring a little bit. Okay. Christian mentoring is totally a little bit different from coaching, because a mentor is helping the followers, again, to understand what the vision is all about and how it will not only make their lives better, but for the Christian body as a whole. Now, that's if you're a visionaire and you're a Christian leader and you're trying to help the person get from one place to another. But Christian mentoring also offers other spiritual growth through relationship and under the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. The Christian mentor should be wise in faith and strive to have godly conduct that provides a spiritually sound, fun, and safe relationship for the followers. You are leading them because you know and understand the path or journey because of experience or being learned in it. So, for instance, someone who has been married for 20 years or so, and they definitely, 20 years and they're still going strong, definitely would be a great mentor for a marriage couple or someone who's needing mentoring in marriage. Someone may just be having a newborn baby, a mother that has had a child. They would be definitely the right mentor to help them to understand what a Christian mother would be over the child if they're a strong Christian and they have faith in Jesus Christ. That would be a good person to nurture and feed and help someone grow as a Christian mother. So a key thing is finding out the area where you have strengths in and sticking to that instead of mentoring every person that comes along. I would rather say, okay, I know that this person is very strong in this area. Or when I'm weak, I will call someone else, okay, let's help me to pray in this area with this person instead of me trying to tackle it myself, because the whole thing is the interest is on the person that is needing the help. So let me refer you to this person. It's for instead of me tackling everybody and trying to mentor everyone. So the reason why we want to mentor, the Bible tells us, the Lord commands us to tell the next generation. When we look at Psalms 145:4, you know, God was saying, "O generation David was saying, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." So as mentors, we want to be able to transcend things from one generation to the next generation so it can continue to impact it, that is leaving a legacy behind of Christian by the, you know, precepts by the Bible and concepts by the Bible, principles of the Bible behind, so that people are learning and growing and adapting along the way. Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to add to that?
To the mentoring part? Hello? To the mentoring part, I would say, to the mentoring part of that, number one, you're going to have a mind made up, a mindset. The Bible said a man with that is unstable is not going to get anything. So first of all, you have to have a mindset. I'll take myself, for instance, when I was really overweight. I used to weigh 350 pounds. I was heavy. I did not like myself. But I became with a mindset, I am going to lose the weight. I began to pray. That's what I did. I began to pray. I asked the Lord to help me. I had to find out not only my eating, why I ate. Mine was being stressed, was contributed to my weight. Rejection is because I felt rejected because which comes with low self-esteem. I was by myself. I had children. I just went through different phases similar to that. And then when I made up my mind, I'm determined to lose weight. Well, I read my word. And to know that, one, God loves me. Jesus loves me. And I began to start little by little. First of all, I started walking. I would walk half a mile, which is just like halfway of a track, and I would stop. Then the next time I would find myself, I would do it every day. And the next time I found myself, I would push myself to do a whole mile, the whole track. I would go around the track. Then I started watching what I eat. Mine basically was sweet. I was a sweetaholic. So I started watching what I eat. I started not eating sweets anymore, cutting back on them. Little by little, I start cutting back. And I would say to myself, I'm not doing this no more. Then I would start looking into eating salads to try to eat something into replace of that, something more healthy, celery, carrots, broccoli. This takes a process. And then finally, when I walk around the track, I gave myself an incentive to say, Lord, I pray for myself. And I would pray. Then I would go around again. I'd pray, add another person, my family. I would go around again. I said, Lord, now this is for you. This is for you just to sit here and talk to me. This is me and you time right here. This last walk is me and you time. So finally I got to the point I could walk that track 2 and 3 times a day, no problem. And the weight just started falling off. I was persistent. Because whatever you do, you have to be persistent. And the weight would fall off, and I quit working a lot of doubles, stressing myself out. I only used, I tried to learn to manage my money, to pay my bills with what I had. I would work with my children, you know, to, I said, you all come in and help do this, help me with this. And then I would start taking them around the track. Come on, let's go walk together. Let's spend this time today in the track, in the park. Y'all can play in the park if you want to, but I'm going to walk the track. And every time I would, you know, and when I found out that one day I was praying to the Lord and I said, look, Lord, I have lost the weight. Now my clothes are too big. They're too big and I don't know what to do now. I was smiling at myself, but I let the Lord, let him look at me through his eyes. And he said, that's good. And to hear his words to say that's good, then he took me on a shopping spree. The Lord did. The Lord took me on the shopping spree, and he had me to purchase clothes. And, you know, the devil's always busy. I was in the shop, and the shop, I looked at the price tag, and there were more than I could pay, you know, for the clothing. But this little, still, small voice said, we're having a sale. And I said, it's going to have to be a sale. I'm telling you, it's going to have to be a sale from heaven because I can't afford these clothes. And she told me she where I was used to be in the size when I used to wear 3Xs and 4Xs, she said, you don't wear those clothes anymore. You need to go over here to this side. This lady never knew me. So I want to say that God will set up angels that will come and help you. And she put me in a size 12. I had went from a size 3X, 4X, to a size 12 in just a matter of time. And when I would try on these clothes, and they would look good, and they were certain clothes that was picked out, that was already established for me to put on, and I would look nice in them, and it made me look pretty, and I felt pretty. Then the Lord took me from there, and, let me tell you, when I got through, I had walked out about 7 bags of clothes, costing me $10.
Amen. That's great. God is good. But going back to how we mentor as Christian leaders, how do we mentor someone else that Minister Belinda, I know that you have a lot of experience with mentoring others to achieve the expected outcome that they want to achieve. Would you like to shed a little light on that?
Yes. Now, this is a subject I could talk about because I've mentored, God has mentored through me a lot of people. And I don't pick my friends. I don't pick my associates. God does. And that's, you know, listening to God because you can only do what God allows you to do. You know, he does it where it doesn't overload you or burden you.
Yeah.
And it's like one individual at a time. Sometimes it's two. The first thing God taught me is to listen to him. Remove all of yourself out the way, your thoughts, and you look at that person as I tell you. When I would come in, God would, I'll use the word, align me with somebody, hook me up with a person, whatever. I would then pray, and God would say, okay, this is what I want you to do. These are the areas that they have the hardest time in. Help them as I helped you. Okay? One lady, God showed me to her. She was getting in a cab, and I was walking, and the Lord did like a quick picture. He said, one day this woman will be a friend of yours. I was at the library, and this woman walked up to me. I was with my child. They were little, and he was playing in the little kid area, and I was watching him. She walked up, and she started talking, and the next thing she was telling me her life story. I listened, and I began to pray. And she attached to me that whole day. As I moved, she moved with me. We became friends. One of the identifications that the Lord said, low self-esteem. So as I would go to her house sometimes, God says, well, you know, go by and visit. And I'm not a person that likes to go to people's houses, but I went because God said. And when I walked, knocked on the door, she said, Glenn, I was just thinking about you. So that lined up with what God told me. And I never know what God's going to say do. And that day when I walked in, her house was a total mess. And she looked very depressed. And I asked her, I said, do you need help with your house? She said, yes. I said, okay, let's tackle one room at a time. So as I went in, I just cleaned, and as we were cleaning, she was talking. Then God would say, now, if a person actually says this, give them the word. So I would tell her, encourage her, I understand where you're at. I understand that you got so much going on, and it's so out of disorder, that the disorder will make you depressed. But if you learn these skills, you can overcome that spirit. Stop looking at the whole thing and deal with one issue at a time. And as you're dealing with that, you need to pray. A lot of individuals would tell me, well, I don't know how to pray. I said, yes, you do. I say that there is an illusion, and most people have it. It doesn't take a long prayer. You know, in the beginning, as you develop, you have to meet them at the place that they're at. And I said, sometimes it's just saying Jesus. I said, when you say that, you're just saying, Jesus, I need your help. Sometimes it's just sitting or walking around the house. Please, make your request and your needs known. Don't think, well, God doesn't have time for me. These are just little things. Everything in your life is important to God. And you need to know that. And that God loves you with all your faults, with all, sometimes you say, Sister Linda, you don't know. I said, I don't need to know. Why do you think Jesus died on the cross? He didn't tell us all our sins. He already knew what we was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that day, all I did was clean. We cleaned the house. And she said something to me. She said, Sister Linda, I thank God for you. Now, this is not for me to pat myself on the back. It's giving people knowledge.
Yeah,
why,
yeah.
Sister Linda, I felt strength. And I said, do you know at a given time that my mind was so destroyed by the constant pressure that I was like I was in an intensive care unit? And God humbly took me and held me in his breast and said, I'll walk with you every hour of the day. Sometimes just getting my kids washed was a chore, was a major chore. Clothes washed, clothes. But honey, if you see the strength in me, it came from God. Freely given. I freely receive, you freely give.
Mm-hmm.
That will be for you. But you have
yeah.
allowed to help you. God will strengthen your mind. He will strengthen your heart, and he will strengthen your spirit and your body. And I said, the strength that I have came from God. And when I told her that, she said, Sister Blinda, you were like that? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I said, you know, I was a strong person in the natural, and I had to become weak to understand who my source was and to become strong. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. So she began to pray. I said, you pray as you see fit, and God will develop your prayer line. I said, if you take one step forward, God will meet you with five. So she began to get her house in order as the pace that God set. There were times that it was just simple needs, but it was the love of Christ. She needed more of an example, a physical example. And then the wisdom and knowledge of God began to grow in her. She started seeking God more. She would ask me spiritual things, you know, it's the word. And then I would say, okay, these this is what God did. Sometimes we learn by each individual is assessing where they are at and what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for them, how to grasp that word, that need, overcome it by the word of God. One time I was sitting in my house by myself. My kids were gone to their dad. And she came to the door. She knocked. She looked terrible inside her spirit. And she said, "Sister Winner, I need to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, ma'am." God said, "Don't speak much, Glenda. Listen to her." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Can I have a bath?" I said, "You sure can." I said, "Just hold up a minute, okay?" So God said, I had one of them old-fashioned bathtubs. I live in a house with soap. I love them things. And I went and got me some candles. God said, "Put candles around the bathtub, you know, areas where I can sit it." And he said, "Now go get that CD, your little record thing he gave me." And I put this music on, this Christian music that I love, that ministered to my heart. And I put bubble baths in there and all of that stuff. I said, "It's ready for you." She went
wow.
in, she took a bath. She didn't have no hot water. I would learn that. And the water was cut off. And she took a bath, and she came and sat down next to me, and she started to cry. She said, "Sister Glenda," she said, "why did you do that?" And I said, "Because that's what God did to me. I was having a hard time and felt like I had been thrown away as a woman." God said, "Glenda, love yourself. You're still valued." And he said, "Put candles around. Take a bath and let me minister to you." I said, "That's what you need to do. You need to quit looking out to others and look inward to God. And then when you get stronger, you'll know how to work, make the right decision. And you'll know your self-worth." So many people do not know self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, and you have to try by the Spirit of God to let them see, to teach them. Quit looking at yourself as you see. Ask God
yeah.
to show you what you see. One
yeah.
time this young lady struggled with some lack of, because she had come out of abuse and had gone to the city and prostituted herself. And this child would cry and just go back and forth, back and forth. And one day in the church, the Spirit of God fell, and I was standing behind her, and she was being ministered to, and she started crying, and the Spirit fell on her, and I swore, from heaven, this most beautiful garment come down. I mean, it was a robe in pearls. I mean, jewels. It was the jewels from heaven are nothing like the jewels down here. And my God, God set that thing on her. There was so much royalty and love that he sat on that girl's shoulder, and he said, "You tell her this." I said, "Girl, let me tell you what I've seen in the spirit. I said a robe that no man could make. The garment, the silk, the refinery, I've never seen nothing like it in my life. I said, the Lord set this on your shoulders." And he said, "You don't understand who you are and how much he loves you." Just whatever that need is. One time it was a young lady. She was an alcoholic. She had a bad reputation in the community, but I didn't know that. God didn't tell me I was to inquire about that mess. And God appointed me as a friend to her to help her. And, I mean, there were men coming in and out the house, you know, drunk, perverted spirit, looking at her children. And God told me to bind, loose, all that stuff. But I would come in humbly. Do only what God said to do and leave. Say only what God said. One day I was going down the street. That's what I'm saying. This mentoring has to be led by the Spirit. And I had $20. And the Lord said, "Go by this lady's house and give her your $20. I said, "Lord, that's the only money I got." He said, "Belinda, do you love me?" I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Then give her the $20. I said, "Okay, Jesus." So I knocked on the door, and I said, "Ma'am, God said to come here and give you this $20. And her eyes got big. And your spiritual eye, you as that mentor, has to be developed. You got to see, let God's eyes be in yours and his ear and his heart and his mind. Because, see, Jesus did that. He totally depended on his Father, and he was able to minister to those that God wanted him to. He knew exactly the need. He knew exactly what to say, and he said no more. And my eye went to a baby in the crib, and he had a towel between his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, hey, Jesus. And she said, Sister Belinda, since you did that, she said, God told you to do that. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm going to tell you what he told me, and I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, that's my last 20. I said, I'm telling you how much God loves you. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, Sister Belinda, can you do something else? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can you take me to the store? I said, yes, ma'am. The thing was for her to get diapers.
You see, you were that angel for that day.
Yeah,
but not only that, it opens up an opportunity for you to mentor and help the individual to grow in the kingdom of God. Just as David also stated in Psalms 71:18, he said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So it's definitely what we want to do when we're mentoring. You said it so rightly, is we need to be in tune with God. We need to be in tune with the kingdom of God to be able to help individuals. There's a few other areas for coaching and mentoring that I also want to point out to the leaders as we are coming to the 30-minute mark. I want to point out also the important part is that we need to be committed. So
yes.
You also have to help the client to be, or the person that you are coaching or mentoring, to be committed. So you want to set schedules to be able to help them during this time. And where you don't, like if you're a coaching Christian leader and you're coaching and mentoring more than one individual, you don't want to conflict your time that you have to spend with other people. So you have to be committed. So you want to schedule with this individual and saying, you know, I would like to come by every week and spend some time with you, or however you want to do it, daily, weekly, or whatever, monthly, or however you want to schedule your appointments. But you need to have some commitment from if it's like 1 hour every Monday, or however you schedule it, and you need to be able to keep the commitment of however you know that things do come up, and if you're not able to, you need to go back to the person and say, I need to change it, I need to amend it. And if you agree to that specific time, help the individual to be accountable by calling them midweek and saying, I just wanted to give you a friendly reminder, either call or email or send a card or in the mail or whatever, to help that person remember, you know, we have a scheduled appointment, to help them to be accountable to that appointment. You also should agree to meet for Bible studies. You want to also continue to equip them in the Bible while you're nurturing and helping them in the area that you're mentoring them in. And make it fun, you know, and also safe. Make it a safe environment. If it's a female and you're mentoring a male, sometimes you might want to make sure it's like in the open in a restaurant or something. A fun but safe environment, you know. Or if it's a male and you're mentoring a female, also you want to protect yourself and protect the individual by having it out in an environment where it's conducive for both of you, to where it's fun and safe. Safe in the area of not being open for persecution, or not being open for, you know, so many things that can happen in such a situation. You want to also be able to pray regularly with the person. you know, to encourage them. Now, email is a great tool to use to be able to communicate effectively with people, and also text. It's a technology that we can use for the kingdom of God to be able to be successful in what we're doing. Mentors also provide support in so many different areas. It requires that the mentor skill is specific in areas, like I mentioned before, like in marriage, pastoral, spiritual, biblically, and many other areas. One of the key persons that help with church leadership development and is a director for Women of Faith, her name is Debbie Stewart, and she's with the Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. She's over the director of the women's ministry also. She indicates that mentoring should support the emotional side of individuals. So the love, and they should feel the acceptance, support, and they should have the freedom to express themselves. They should be able to say whatever they want to in the conversation and feel free about it. You know, oftentimes you find people that are afraid to go and talk to a pastor because they're afraid of what the pastor would think of them and say. And that goes from pastor to pastor. Pastors sometimes don't want to talk to other pastors because they're afraid the other pastor will say or how they're going to think about them. So they should be free to express themselves, and we should be considerate of them, take consideration of, does this person have a family? If they have a family, do you want to be in their home all the time if their husband with, you know, their husband, and they're, you know, you taking up the husband's time? You know, you have to be considerate. If the person is not thinking, you also have to be considerate of that situation. At times it's an opportunity if it's a marriage situation where you can open up and ask the whole family to pray. But we want to take consideration of their environment, consideration of their culture, consideration of many things when we are helping clients. So spiritual, we use spiritual counsel. We speak in the truth and love. We're also there as an encouragement. If we feel, we sense and we see by the power of the Holy Spirit that this person is getting weak in this area, we want to encourage them to continue to run the race. I remember when I was a cell pastoring, and I had individuals that I was helping to grow in the things of God. Well, one of the things we do is we call, how are you doing? I haven't seen you. Is everything okay? And sometimes you find out that a person's in the hospital. You start going to visit them. You're nurturing them. You're praying them through. You're fasting for them. That they will get well. So it's so many things that we can do in the body of Christ spiritually to help the body of Christ in mentoring them. And not only that, is when they come out, are you checking on them? Or are you making sure? So that's why we want to have a commitment, not only because when that person leave you for time, you want to make sure that they're well. It's genuine. You genuinely care about these individuals to help them to get from one stage to the other. And as a Christian leader, as a pastor over a church, you definitely should be following up and making sure that the people are growing. Where are they? I remember in the ministry that I was with, the senior pastor would call me over, come over and let's talk, you know. So he and the wife were very strong spiritually in the things of God, and he would say, you see what I do, you see that pond over there? He said, I walk around it every day and I pray. I pray every day, and I spend time talking to God. He said,
What
are you doing? You know, so we also want to encourage people to grow in the kingdom of God spiritually. And what can we do to do that? But we definitely need, as Minister Belinda said, we need to be prayerful, seeking God for the answer. And God will bring people in your life. God will give you the words to say. God will teach you how to mentor and help people. We also look at it from a physical aspect, as she said, which is an awesome testimony for women who are helping women and mentoring them. You know, this is something that's going to last for a lifetime with this individual. That's the way that you set the bath and you make the environment so in such a way that she was going to experience greatness. She was going to feel like she is someone, that she is, more than what she thinks she is, you know. You made her, you gave her something that it will last her for a lifetime, that this is what the unconditional love of Jesus Christ is. So we want to help them and work out their troubles along the way, but we don't want them to be dependent upon us. We want them to understand this is all about Christ, and we also want to attach them to Christ in it.
Yes.
So their health and their well-being, we want to consider those things. You know, how can you preach something and they don't even begin to understand it because the situation that they're in, unless you also show them, not just by saying it, but show them, because we often get caught up in quoting scriptures and not taking a balance on it, that did they really get what I'm saying? If I stand up and I speak to 1,000 people and none of them get what I'm saying or understand it, and none of them can't get wisdom on it, it's not equipping or empowering the body of Christ. And that's what we need to do in these hours that God has given us the grace to continue the pace. As Christian leaders, we have to be mentoring, we have to be coaching, feeding, taking care of the body of Christ, and showing them what the real unconditional love of Jesus Christ is. And I like the point that you brought out, because I can see that this individual, when they walk away, they're going to know the unconditional love of Christ for sure, and they are going to, it's opening up a door to connecting this person with Christ so that they can continue to grow, and whether you're there or not, that they're going to be able to know that, hold on to Christ, hold on to him. And that's what mentoring and coaching a true Christian leadership should be about. And I just want to, Minister Belinda, I'm going to let you start if you want to add to that. Yeah.
Yes. The key and the one key importance of that is that you are there only to serve, to enlighten, to bring them into growth in God, and not to make them spiritually, dependent on you. The bottom goal is that they will grow in God, know how to depend on God, know God's word, see the love of God, and know that that love is available to them, and that they are no longer, they can come out of the bondage by knowing what to do. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You're giving them the Lord's knowledge, not yours, not your opinion, not your thought. And if you do exactly what God says, that individual will come out stronger. They will be able to stand on their own, connected to that vine. And they should excel, and I have seen that. I have had individuals try to lay on my back and want me to pack them. I will not. God will give you the wisdom to say in love, no, that's not God. I cannot do that. If I do that, then I am against God, because God didn't do it for me. When he told me that I had learned enough, you need to walk. This time, God carried me. And then there came a day God said, now you're going to walk. I had to walk. There are things that God will say to individuals, and they say, well, Sister Lynn, I just can't do it. I say, yes, you can. According to the word, yes, you can. Well, I had people say, well, that I'm not you. I said, it has nothing to do with me. You have to put your part in it. I can't pick up your cross. You are going to have to pick up your own cross. But God will let you know what to say. And there's even times that God will say, this person is at this place, but they are comfortable there. I want you to tell them this. And I mean, it was scripturally hard. I can say that to Sister Betty, because God would send me to her house, Reverend Betty, and tell her something. It was hard for her to grasp it. So God said, you're going to tell her. Then she went in prayer, and she got the understanding.
Amen. Amen. And Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to share any more insight to the mentoring, Christian mentoring for the Christian leader?
I want to say whatever the Lord has given you to plant or to water, that he gives increase, that a lot of planting that you do of his word or doing of helping someone, being a servant to someone, that God will give increase. And it may be years later, months later down the line, you will see the fruit prosper. You will see that person later on. I've seen a lot of them that say, guess what? I said, what? I'm serving the Lord now. I'm doing better. I'll do this more. And it is a blessing to let you know that it wasn't you, it was Christ that was in you, the hope of glory, that helped through you to help that person. And that's what we're here for, to help others, but to do it in the love, the admiration, and the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd like to say one thing, and the members need to understand this, that pastors cannot do everything.
Yes.
And a church really needs to be sensitive to a pastor, that they, the skills that they have, they need to develop them and work as cell units within that church, because he cannot carry that burden. He cannot meet every individual's need. He can do what he can, but God equipped us as a body in Christ. He's got to have that foot helping him. He's got to have that arm helping him. That body just don't work in that, just that head. The head has to do everything. The legs got to do something. The hands got to do something. All of that is put together for a purpose. And when you mentor, you got, if you have a family, God is going to tell you how to do it so it doesn't hinder your family. And churches need to know they cannot overload people. You have to assess what that individual could do and what it's capable with all the other things they got to do. I'm not going to, I would never tell a person, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. That ain't, that Christ, you know, you can't. And they have to be able to, he'll give them a portion as they're, and if they're tuned in with God, they'll do no more. God does not divide houses. It's when we lack the ability to know the balance. And then
Amen.
let them do that and stand back and let them walk. And if they start stumbling, that's when you go in and say, okay, sister, brother, what can I help to achieve that goal? I've seen members new members come and the church just load them up. You can't do that. Hear the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That person still has a husband. They still have children. And only if you listen to the Spirit of God, he'll tell you what measurement, what that person is given, how much they can stand within that time.
Right.
You know,
amen.
I work with people that have disabilities. I don't look at the lack. I look at what they're capable of. But I also am reminded they have a whatever measure of ability, you can't expect them to do beyond that. But you can help them. You don't set them up to fail. You set them up to succeed. And when they have completed that area and you see growth, and you can't be in a stagnated place because that makes people fail. I remember one client, he cleaned the federal government building. I mean, we were polishing brass. I was a supervisor. He'd go in there and clean that bathroom. And then one day he told me, because you listen to people, I'm tired of this. I don't have no insurance. Now, the company that I work for, they're supposed to do certain things that they're not doing. We're supposed to enable these clients to leave from under our care and go within the community and be able to function alone. So I told him, they're not concerned about you going farther. They want to keep you in this position. I said, but you have the ability. There is a job at the hospital that you can do, and you will get the benefits you need, and you'll get the increase in pay. He told me, oh, I can't do that. He said, I don't know how to buff. I don't know how to do that. I said, okay, wait a minute. When you came to this job, did you know how to do all of these things? No. What happened? You learned, right? He said, yes. I said, the same thing you'll do over there. I said, you know why you'll succeed? You have determination. You're reliable, and you do your job. You don't have to have supervision. You're good at your job, so good that I can tell you this needs to be done, and I know that it'll be done when I get over there. I said, they're going to hire you just because of that. And you will grow because of the consistency and the character. Don't limit yourself. You have the ability. He went. And he got hired and got 2 pay increases within, I think, 2 months.
Wow. See, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, you know, because we're not just, you know, it's not always spiritually, but we use spiritual. We use the things of God to help and equip the person. To be able to go to the next level or to achieve the goals that they want to in life. As I said before, it could be something basic as is that, well, I just retired. I don't know what I want to do, and I'm just sitting here like I'm lost.
Yes.
It could be something, you know, we don't know what the situation will be. But just as you assess, and you realize this person is capable, so you encourage them to go to the next level that was going to help them to be successful in what they wanted to do. And that's what we're here to do, not the way that we see it, but the way that we know by the information God has given us on how to make them help them to get there. Now, I want to read what David also wrote in Psalms 78:1-8. He said, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." You see, he's always given remembrance a lot of these things that he did and he learned. It came from their fathers, but some of it he experienced. He said, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which has commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation is come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that has set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So we do this all because we want the generations after us. We also want the people that are before us, behind us, or with us. We want them to know about God so that they can take strength, so that they can understand his strength and his wonderful work that he has done, and that when they are in situations, they know that they can overcome them and be able to move forward in life and achieve success in everything that they're doing. And this is what Christian leadership is all about, and also Christian mentoring and coaching the body of Christ to help them to achieve the goals, again, achieve the goals that they want to achieve. And so, therefore, as Minister Belinda pointed out also, it's important to assess. We want to look and help them to be aware of what they're doing. We also want to look at what is their vision in all of this. What do they want? What is a perfect outcome for them? We also want to help them with their strategies and actions by establishing goals that will help them to achieve it. We also want to help them to identify and eliminate obstacles that may hinder them along the path from achieving it. So it's important, again, that we do not use manipulation or false convictions of our own priorities to get them there. What we want to do is we want to help them to see it themselves. Where are you now? Where do you want to be now? What is your focus? How is this going to help you? Okay. They have to gain awareness, and they also have to continue to be more aware. And we are listening, we're questioning, we're responding to their needs in this, and we're also helping them to get there. It's not about us, it's about them. We don't want them to cling to us, as Reverend Betty Shelby and Minister Belinda just pointed out. We don't want them to cling to us. We want them to cling to the cross, cling to Jesus Christ, you know, be attached to the vine, that they can drink and eat from Christ directly and be able to experience the greatness just as you are, and also help others. Because when we do that, we are equipping and empowering the body of Christ, and therefore the kingdom of God will increase and grow, and we will all be successful in it. We all will have our visions for our businesses, our organizations, our churches, our families, and our everything that we're doing, it will be successful. And we can do that together as we continue to build up the body of Christ. I think we have a caller online with us today, and if there's anyone out there that's also listening online, if you want to chat with me or send me your message through Facebook, you can send it through Yahshua's Tabernacle or Kingdom Empowerment Magazine, and I will be glad to answer or accept any additions that you would like to add. So the audience, I'm now opening up the door for you. So if you have any questions or anything else that you would like to add to what we've been talking about, feel free at this time.
Well, I praise God for all of the words spoken today, and allow God to order our steps in His Word. I've been listening to the segment, and it's just, I love you all using the word example, because we must be examples for the people, disciples for Christ. And my dad was my mentor. And sometimes a person can be a mentor and they're not even aware that you have selected them as the mentor. So that's why we have to make sure that we have our lives aligned with Christ. Dad used to say, you are like the company that you keep. And
amen.
When I was younger, that used to really bother me, because I would think, well, just because I hang out with so-and-so, that doesn't mean that I'm like, but his words followed me, and as I grew more mature, I understand exactly what he meant by that. You are like the company that you keep. We have to make sure that we understand that even though we are not necessarily aware that a person has selected you as a mentor, you have to have your lives aligned with Christ, because they very well can be selecting you as a mentor. They're watching you. They're watching the words that you speak. That's why we have to understand that actions even speak louder than words. Have our
Amen.
Actions line up with the way Christ wants us to live. Very important. And I think of coaching, I think of it as the team concept, you know, and I would tell my students that each one of those letters meant something in the word team. That means together, that each accomplish more. That's the team concept. You're doing that together. So if we align ourselves up with Christ, no telling what we can do. We're powerful.
Yeah.
We have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our path. Understand that the ways of truth, that light is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, I like the way that you pointed out the other side of mentoring and also coaching, because you so rightly said, you may be a mentor and not even realize it, that everyone is trying to follow you. And it's very important that as we are Christian leaders, that we are leading those that are, we know that are following, and also those that are unknown to us. Because I have had people come to me and say that they've been watching what I was doing, or that they, you know, noticed there was something different. So as you rightly said, you do have to be careful about what you're doing on the outside or the inside. People may be watching you. They may be listening to you. Their whole bodily senses may be activated to what you're doing. So we as the body of Christ, is especially Christian leaders or Christians, we have to be careful about what we're doing, because you never know who's watching you. You never know who's following you. And if they're following you, you want them to be following, as Paul said, as you're following me, follow Christ. You make sure you're following Christ, the Christ in me. Don't follow me, but follow the Christ that is in me, because that's very important. And I'm saying that from when I was trying to find the scripture here, but he's saying follow follow him as he is following Christ. So if you see a person that's not really aligned with the Bible or as Christ is showing you inside, that they're not going the right direction, stop following them. Follow Christ. Follow Christ.
Amen.
If you need a mentor, follow some. Find a mentor that follows the Word of God, what
Amen.
The Word of God says, and that's really in tune to the spiritual things of God. As written in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So
Amen.
We want to be strong and courageous in everything we do, and be strong and courageous in who you follow. Don't get caught up to the point where you are following them, but follow Christ. Follow
mm-hmm.
Christ. Let your passion
Amen.
Be about Christ
Amen.
In everything. So I'm going to let the caller, you want to announce yourself, who you are?
I'm Theresa White.
Okay. All right. I know you, Minister Theresa Wright. White. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming in and listening to the call, the show today, the program. You're welcome at any time. And I just want to now take some fine points for us to pray for the Christian leaders out there who are coaching and mentoring. And I first want to ask that Minister Belinda, can you please pray for the Christian mentors and the Christian leaders that are mentors and coaching individuals out there for the body of Christ?
Yes. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for every individual that is walking in that calling of mentoring or coaching. God, I pray for you to encourage them, Lord, to fine-tune their gifts, Lord Jesus, so they will be a help to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray for them to be surety that their skills, they are equipped to do them, if they're being led by God. And if they feel like there's shortcomings, Lord, let them know that that's not real. Because God, through you, we can do all things. Lord, you will build in them what they need and increase them as they go along. Lord, so I ask, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will watch over them, that you will encourage them, that you will strengthen them, and that their gifts will be increased for the glory of you, Lord Father, and that every soul that they touch, that they are pointed to, will grow, that they will become strong soldiers, Lord, unmovable soldiers for the kingdom of God. Father, I ask God for one soul to lead a nation. God, because one man or one woman can move a whole nation. We've seen it, Lord, but it has to be led by your spirit. God, I think of Martin Luther King. No man could have done that unless he had Jesus in him. The Abrasunda laws were able to be overturned and new laws put in for the betterment of all people, white, black, Indian, whatever, but for all your children, God. So I ask, Lord, that every mentor and coacher, they need to understand that these gifts that God gave them are glorious. Because you could touch a life. You could be a Martin Luther King. You could be a Gandhi. You could be all those people because they chose to hear God, seen an injustice, and they came to help. So whoever you're helping, hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to you and be encouraged and go forth with strength. Go forth, God, in the name of Jesus, with the fierceness of God, meeting every obstacle. In Jesus' holy name, Lord, we just praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. And you have been listening to Donna Wortham, the host of Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., Blog Talk Radio Program, and I have been joined with co-host Minister Belinda McKenzie, of McAllister, Oklahoma, and also Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple, Boley, Oklahoma, and Minister Tressa White has joined the line with us as well. And I just would like to say thank you for being a part of the show today. We welcome you anytime, and we all love you. Reverend Betty Shelby, can you close us out in prayer and giving thanks to God for all that he's doing for us today?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for every listener, every heart, every spiritual leader, mentor that you have set on this earth, Father. We thank you, Father, that the ultimate leader, ultimate mentor is Jesus Christ. And as we lift up the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, that you say in your word, you'll draw all men unto you. Father, we just thank you for every word spoken. We thank you, Father, that you will increase us. Father, we thank you that you will enlighten us. And, Father, we thank you for correction, restoration, and plans for the battlefield as we go, Father. Be with each and every one, and we plead the blood of Jesus over from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, breaking down every stronghold, casting it down to the pits of hell from where it should be. In Jesus' name, every strategy of the enemy, we cast it back to hell. And we abort everything that Satan has set up against your children, Father, to fail. We cast it back to hell from which it came. In Jesus' name. And let your glory reign, Lord. Let your glory reign. Let your
Hallelujah.
Glory reign, Father. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for all things, and we thank him for giving us insight to Christian leadership and for the Christian leader to be able to provide Christian coaching and Christian mentoring to the body of Christ. And we will be returning back again. Just please keep access to our blogtalkradio.com/KingdomEmpowerment Inc. for the new shows that are coming up. We have shows coming either Wednesday or Thursday. We will have a Christian life coach who coach primarily pastors will be on the show with us, and he will be sharing some of the benefits that are offered to pastors when they take on a Christian life coach, and his name is Kirk Curlin of Curlin Coaching Ministries. So we invite the pastors to come in and listen and find out some insight as to how a Christian life coach can be beneficial to you. We do thank you again for joining the show, and as always, we love you. God bless everyone, and have a wonderful day in Jesus Christ.
Amen.